Triton Digital.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Xbox present Echoes of Valhalla, Life of Vikings, the podcast.
Listen. Listen. Beware of the silence. The land still echoes with the battle cries. Listen. This is the story of my ancestors. The story of my people, the children of the Great North. You may have heard it from the mouths of our enemies or read the words written by Christian monks. But before I disappear, I, the heiress, wish to tell the tale of what really happened. This is our truth. The truth of the Vikings.
In the beginning, being a Viking,
Lucy Malbos, lecturer in medieval history at the University of Poitiers,
didn't mean belonging to an ethnicity or to a particular population. It was a way to make a living. It wasn't about who you are, but rather what you did.
In ancient Scandinavian, in Norse, Viking refers to the activity of going on expedition by sea to find loot.
Alban Gauthier, professor of medieval history at the University of Caen.
A Viking is someone who goes Viking, meaning someone who sets sail, hoping to become rich.
This is where it all began. Imagine a majestic landscape. Snow-capped mountains, rocky overhangs, green valleys, winding silver rivers. This land was the birthplace of my ancestors. Before becoming traders and warriors, they were farmers, fishermen, free men, and tireless workers. They bred pigs, cattle, and chicken. They grew oats, barley, wheat, peas, turnips, and cabbages. But the land was rough and not always giving. When this occurred, the men would dream of a land elsewhere that was milder, beyond the sea.
Oh, look at this soil. Nothing else will grow here. The harsh winter has not been kind to us.
Maybe when the sun returns and...
No, listen to me, my son. If I had the choice, I'd have stayed here and worked the land until my last breath. But it's the will of the gods. I have to accept Sven's proposition and sail to greener lands.
So little is known about our people. Yet there are so many misconceptions that they were barbarians, looters, mercenaries even. While it is true that my people can be cruel on the battlefield, easily offended at the slightest insult to the clan, and quarrelsome even at home, they also enjoy sitting by the hearth in the peace of the Skali, the main area where the whole family gathers together.
See how your son looks at you. He's already proud of you.
One day I'll be proud of him. He'll be a great warrior, just like his father, you can tell.
Let him learn to walk before putting an axe in his hands. He's so young. Put another log on the fire to keep us warm.
And disagreeing with her was out of the question. While men give orders on the battlefield, make no mistake, we women are the uncontested leaders of the household. We reign supreme at home.
The free married woman is the guardian of the household when her husband's away on an expedition. And what symbolises her responsibilities and duties at home is the keychain she usually has on her belt. Despite all this, she's not equal to men. She can't partake in politics and legal affairs.
Arts and crafts play an essential part in our culture. We sculpt wood, amber, ivory, and blowglass. We have gold at the tips of our fingers. We make unbelievably refined jewellery that turns women into goddesses. And of course, we have mastered the art of weapon making. As worthy disciples of Volund, the god of forges, our blacksmiths are genuine masters in their domain.
Blacksmith! Blacksmith!
I am here, on the other side.
Ah, I can't hear the sound of your hammer. Does that mean my axe is ready?
Yes. I have just finished working on it. It took me all night. Here it is. Look.
By Thor, what a blade. It's beautifully finished. You outdid yourself, blacksmith.
Take it and tell me how it feels.
It's perfectly balanced. It's a joy to hold. Can I try it out on this log?
That is what it's there for.
What power! I can't wait to test it in battle.
You will soon have the chance. I hear the day of battle is drawing closer.
Good. I'd rather split a skull than a log.
His joy was far from misplaced. The blacksmith was right. A great battle was brewing. The day before, during the Thing, the solemn assembly, my people had decided to ally with Chief Ivar Ragnarsson, known as Ivar the Boneless. In those days, wars between rival kingdoms were common. Each wished to extend their power over the vast lands to the south. But Ivar was by far the most fearsome of them all. He was said to be a berserker, a wild warrior endowed with sacred strength, just like in the sagas. He is believed to have had uncontrollable rage and caused immeasurable destruction. But above all else, he was cunning. He already ruled over a large swathe of land, but wanted to assert his power at all costs, even the cost of blood.
I, Ivar Ragnarsson, swear to lead you to victory! Pledge your allegiance! Bow down to my rule! You shall not be disappointed! You will swim in glory and wealth if you follow me! But be warned! Whoever dares to betray me will be judged by my axe!
Ivar was a man of his word. The alliance was sealed.
Ivar Ragnarsson,
just like his name alludes to, is the son of Ragnar, a legendary person whose journey is difficult to trace.
This term, berserker gang, that a warrior might get into such a rage.
Ryan Lavelle, professor of history of the Dark Ages at the University of Winchester.
That they bite the edge of their shields and froth out of their mouth, tear off their clothes, or might be wearing the fur of a bear. This is something of a legend of late Viking Age, even of the later Middle Ages themselves, when Icelandic storytellers were sat around the fireside.
Dawn had just broken, and men had already gathered in the early morning light. The mist was beginning to lift over the plains. The green lands glimmered in the morning dew. Who could have thought that mere moments from then, this peaceful haven would welcome such carnage?
Sons of the Great North, my brethren, wield your weapons! Make the earth quake and fill the skies with your cries of fury! If we are victorious, tonight we shall feast at the banquet with our wives! And if we fall, we shall sit in the great company of the Valkyrie, in the splendor of Valhalla. We fear not death. Let Odin lead us to victory.
It appears that Odin had heard Ivar's declamation, and that the Valkyrie had lent wings to the warriors. They descended upon their enemies like a metal whirlwind. The battle raged on until midday. Yes, the gods gave us victory, but a terrible victory it was. The plains were drenched in blood and scattered with lifeless bodies.
My arm. I got hit by a spear where I killed my opponent. Look.
I am here, my brother. You are suffering, but without you, we may never have won this battle. Show me your wounds.
What makes you smile?
You remind me of the god Tyr, who sacrificed his arm to conquer the wolf Fenrir. I am lucky to have you by my side.
You think I'll lose my arm?
No, no, we will tend to it, and soon you will be wielding your axe, ready to strike down new enemies.
Oh, it's a relief. I'd like to be as brave as Tyr, but keep my arms and legs, if it's all possible.
At least the pain hasn't dulled your sense of humor. Rest now, and do not forget to pray for those we have lost.
The Scandinavians fight amongst themselves and steal from each other.
François Aimion, Professor of Nordic Studies at the Sorbonne University.
Before Norway, Sweden, and Denmark were unified, there were little principalities, small kingdoms, who waged war on each other or partnered up, depending on the situation. It's a rather unstable society.
These clans are separated by mountains, which can be very tall and covered with a lot of snow. Or, for example, in Norway, they're separated by dense forests, which means communication isn't easy. This explains why Scandinavian societies are organized in a divided, separated and distinct fashion.
For the honor of our banner, my people were ready to sacrifice both their arms. But once again, the gods had spared them. Alas, this was not the fate of some companions who had fallen on the plain. That night, their funeral was celebrated. We called upon Volva, our priestess and prophetess. Following the ancient traditions, the deceased's eyes and mouths were shut. Their bodies were washed, their hair combed, and nails were cut. They were given their weapons to help on the arduous journey that would lead them to Valhalla. The priestess said a few final words before one of us set the funeral pyre ablaze.
We honor our men who fell in combat. May the fire cleanse their corpses. May the earth welcome their ashes. May the soaring raven lead them to the kingdom of the dead.
There are a certain number of sites in the south of Norway where there are gigantic grave mounds that haven't been pillaged from, unlike those in the Egyptian pyramids that have been stolen from all through history. In these pyramids, we found boats in which an aristocrat was laid to rest. Some of these boats contained cremations, and sometimes there were other bodies too. But we don't know if they were slaves who were killed when their master died, or if they were people who were buried afterwards.
The men and women of the village gathered to give thanks to the gods through offerings and sacrifices. Young women formed a circle around the priestess. They chanted sacred formulas to look into the future by contacting the Norns that control our destiny. Our people still adhere to the age-old precepts of Forsyther, our religious tradition.
To you, Odin, King of the Gods, we sacrifice this horse. To you, Tyr, god of war, we sacrifice this bull. May their flesh give you thanks for our victory, and may their blood be evidence of our veneration.
La Volva, c'est une sorte
the priestess
de
is some kind of witch prophetess,
sorcière,
a rather marginal person in Scandinavian society. We generally call upon her services during crises to find out the secret of the gods. This figure is feared and dreaded. Even Odin calls upon this priestess to learn his destiny.
After the ceremonies, a great banquet was held to celebrate victory. The table was covered in victuals, the wine was flowing, the men feasted by the blazing fire, the moon was full. The sky glittered with myriad stars, as if Valhalla itself were lighting up the banquet, as if our fallen brothers were trying to feast in our company.
The leader who wants to show off his power, greatness, and wealth must do it in a visible and conspicuous way. One of the best ways to show off his power and wealth is to organize a big feast.
The Vikings are players.
Thierry Noël, content and inspiration consultant at Ubisoft.
They played famous verbal jousting games called Flighting, and that is exactly what we see in the game.
In the middle of the celebration, Ivar demanded silence. He had great news to give.
Listen! This victory is a sign that Odin is with us! But it is just the beginning. My friends, my brethren, will you follow me into battle? across the seas. I vow that I will lead the way and we will wage war in every part of the world.
A rousing speech. Cries of joy carried all the way to the coast. The men were anxious to take part in this conquest, which promised to be extraordinary. In the event of victory, it guaranteed titles, honors, and fortune. And if they were to fall in battle, then they knew they would witness the glorious, the majestic gates of Valhalla.